New Zealanders and some foreigners have been quarantined at Whangaparāoa military base for 2 weeks have started to be released. RNZ reporter Nita Blake-Pearson is there. Hi, Nita.
Kia ora, Jesse.
How many people are we talking about?
Well, they're coming out in drips and drabs. So we've seen 3 large buses and about 3 shuttle buses go through the gate so far. But the large buses aren't full and the shuttle buses are kind of ferrying more of the local New Zealanders to their whānau in the waiting car park down here. But we know that there are more than 150 all up due to be released today. 98 of them are New Zealanders, so they are travelling either within New Zealand or here in Auckland. The remaining 59 are being taken on those buses out to Auckland Airport, where they will be finally flying home.
And remind us of the background, Nita, why are these people here?
So these people were brought to the military base 2 weeks ago. They were on that flight which came from Wuhan that was chartered, the Air New Zealand chartered flight to rescue people from Wuhan after everything else had shut down. So mainly New Zealanders, but the rest, there was a few spare seats. So there's quite a few Pacific Islanders, as well as some people from Britain, Timor-Leste, Papua New Guinea. I think there's one person from Uzbekistan, another from the Netherlands. And they were put into a 2-week quarantine period to see if they had any symptoms or may have coronavirus. They've been getting daily health checks every morning at 10 a.m. and appear to have passed all of those. Everyone is symptom-free and without coronavirus, so they're finally being let home today.
And any sense of the mood there? I'm sure there's some relief, but are you picking up anything, Nita?
Absolutely. For most families, they're just incredibly excited to see their loved ones again. There was a little bit of frustration this morning. The first people were due to be released around 11 a.m, but that was a little bit delayed. And there was some frustration that, you know, it's been long enough. A lot of these people hadn't seen their families for weeks and in some cases months. So that kind of final hold up at the last minute, I think it was just starting to get a little bit much when you haven't seen those special people.
Okay, so good news for those people, and I suppose good news for New Zealand that none of the group have become ill with the virus. I understand there'll be some new evacuees arriving tomorrow, though.
That's right. The 8 people who are being brought from the Diamond Princess cruise ship, which has been moored off Tokyo and has had a number of cases of coronavirus. There were 13 New Zealanders on that Diamond Princess ship. 2 New Zealanders are in hospital with coronavirus. 3 people didn't want to be on the flight, which is coming back to New Zealand. It will first go to Darwin, and we will be picking up the remaining 8 people who are expected to arrive back in New Zealand and will begin their quarantine period here tomorrow.
Great work, Nita Blake-Pearson, who is on site at Whangaparāoa Military Base. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Jesse.
It's 21 past 1. It's poor old Wellington and its water infrastructure that appears to be in real trouble. Hundreds of Island Bay residents have repeatedly gone without water for long periods recently after an old water main burst. And a broken wastewater pipe at Moore Point on the south coast last month has trucks hauling 1 million litres of sludge to landfill every day. Wellington City Council Mayor Andy Foster has called an urgent meeting for this afternoon. And I'm joined by Wellington freelance journalist Ian Appley to explain why that urgency is warranted. Hi, Ian.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Good. How bad is it?
I think it's pretty bad at this point. And some of the councils have used the word crisis over the last couple of 3 days. And I reckon we're about there. And it's worse than usual. The water system does fail from time to time, but when you're seeing 8 significant failures in less than 3 weeks, and that doesn't include the sewage failures and the roads that we've got closed and the contributing issues from all of that, it's not in a great state.
What's gone wrong?
That's a really good question. There's a lot of conjecture. Effectively, the infrastructure itself is ancient in places, and the various councils have been warned about that over the years, that they need to be making arrangements to invest in fixing that stuff. That hasn't happened fast enough on the surface of it. So we have an ancient infrastructure that's buried beneath a complex layer of other stuff under the ground, and on top of that we're increasing the capacity of the city week on week, so we're putting extra load and strain on a creaking old system.
And how long have we known about this?
Well, this stuff has gone back years. Councils have been told that they need to invest more heavily in infrastructure as opposed to some of the other projects that are out there. It's generally resisted because it tends not to be a political winning card. It probably would be about now. So the amount of investment tends to be quite low. I think in the 1920 budget they were looking at about $57 million worth of investment in infrastructure, and that's out of a budget of probably $500 million capital and somewhere up to $1 billion in operating, you know, in total. So it's quite low in the scheme of things.
So any sign that the current council and mayor are taking this seriously enough?
Yeah, so in the last two or three days we've had some of the councillors break rank. So residents have basically been saying, look, what's going on? It's not good enough that we're not getting information about what's happening and how it's being managed. Three of the councillors have now come out and basically called it a crisis. The mayor has set this meeting up, which will be starting shortly, and hopefully we're going to see some active governance in managing the situation and at the very least being able to tell people in the city what's going on and what's planned.
What needs to happen and how major will it be?
I think they need to treat this in a similar way to a crisis. Crisis could be a bit of a heavy word, but that process means that the council is objectively focused on that as the highest priority issue for the city. You would expect them to be meeting weekly, and you would expect a good stream of communication coming out of the councils themselves and Wellington Water, keeping the city informed on what they were planning and where they were at. So that gives the residents some confidence that the issue is being managed and will be resolved.
And what's the word on the streets? Are people chatting about this? How worried are Wellingtonians?
I think the biggest conversation on the street is the smell around the southern coastline as the trucks full of poo basically roll from one side of the coast to the other, and it being summer as well. So people are definitely noticing it.
What's gone wrong there exactly, Ian?
So there's been two sewage issues. One's been in the central city, which has a street locked off, and they have a patch in place for it. Effectively, the other is there is a pipeline that runs from Mower Point, which is right by the airport, the sewage treatment plant, all the way to the landfill, which is around in Happy Valley near Red Rocks. That pipeline's broken. They don't quite know why, and they don't quite know when they're going to be able to fix that, and it's a long way underground. So they are basically transporting sewage via truck until they can sort that out.
Doesn't reflect very well on the city, does it?
No, not really. A little bit more governance and perhaps a little bit less focus on some of those vanity projects, and we may not have been quite in the situation, in my opinion.
Dean has emailed me, says Wellington has water problems, has done for some considerable time. Are you aware that for more than a decade, over 1 in 5 of drinkable water that gets pumped into Wellington's water reticulation system gets lost, and it's mainly due to leaky pipes?
Yep, that's another massive factor for the city as well. It's quite a shocking number. And that's only something that rolling maintenance can fix over time.
What do you hope to see come out of the meeting this afternoon?
I'd like to see an actionable plan with checkpoints on when they're going to come back to us, what they're going to do, so that we can, the city, the residents, hold them accountable to making sure they're doing something about it.
Well, maybe we should chat to you tomorrow, Ian, after the meeting and see what gets done. Thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Welcome.
Ian Appley, who's a freelance journalist in Wellington, talking to us about those infrastructure issues.